blessings that he has poured out on this beautiful congregation. We have a full house. I mean, a really full house. We have guests with us enjoying God's blessings. We have people from North Miami Beach, all the way from Atlanta, and many, many other places. And we have the local church. God is good. And he's ready to bless us beyond our comprehension. We need so many things as a church, and God provides for our needs. I wonder if we are able to receive all the things God has in store for us, individually and as a congregation. I would like to deal with a topic that will be kind of heavy. It is heavy because it goes through the pockets and hits the heart. My title is, "You need it so much that you don't need it at all." When I first came to America, after a few months, I visited a family that had a newborn baby. You know, when you are about to meet somebody for the very first time in your life, you go with your heart full of expectations. So I went there, and I found the beautiful baby girl sleeping in a swing. Now, that swing was not any kind of swing. It was an electronic swing. I had never seen something like that before. I knew they have been around. They had been around for a while, but I have never had something like that. I had never seen something like that. You push the button, and the swing rocks the baby. That's something. Then our baby, Alessandra, was born. And guess what? One of the first gifts she's ever received in her life was a swing. Now, that swing was not just any kind of swing. That swing was an electronic swing. You push the button, and the swing would rock the baby. We have it in our garage. If you need it, you can take it. My wife told me, you shouldn't say this, you know, because you may upset people. So I'm really thinking, should I say it or not? Let me ask you something. Do you know how much a newborn baby needs an electronic swing? Well, let me tell you how much. A newborn baby needs an electronic swing so much that she or he doesn't need it at all. Yes, babies need swings, human swings, and they enjoy it, they like it. It's so great to be swung by a human, real swing. Have you noticed we have become victims of consumerism? Consumerism is that ideology, social and economic ideology, that always encourages you to buy, to purchase things and services in an ever-increasing amount. And at one point you find yourself buying things that you need so much. How much? That you don't need them at all. That's the reality we live in. And nowadays there are marketing specialists paid to do that. Back in history, marketing would work like this. You go out, you scrutinize and spot, identify the need. Then you create a product as an answer to that need. Are you following me? So now you have the need, you have the product, and all you need to do is convince your clients to buy the product because that product answers to a need. Today things are different. Because the first step of marketing today is not go and see the need. It is go and create the need. Because once you created the need, you can have them buy anything. And you will find yourself buying things you need so much that you don't need them at all. And your house is full. Tell me if that's not true. Your garage is full. You don't want to move because you don't know what to do with all that stuff. It's piled, it's cluttered. The other day I heard someone saying, you don't know, I need to rent a storage space. Really, why? Because you have so many things you need that you don't need them at all. Understand what I'm talking about? And you know what the funny thing is? Well, it's not funny, but it's funny. As much as we have, we still don't have. And James, in James chapter 4, describes our situation very well. So let's go to James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This is what it says. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. The NIV says you ask with wrong motives. You ask amiss that you may spend it, watch this, on your pleasures. Let's pray. Father, this is a tough message. And I so much wish that it will wake us up. And it will give us another glimpse of your reality. In Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first point James makes very strong is that you do not have. Why? Because you don't ask. Let me tell you something. If you want something, okay, especially you young people, okay? If you want something, you can get it. Do you know how? Ask. Ask the one that has it. All right? Because you can go to all those wrong places and ask. I know someone who has it. Now, if you do not pray for that thing, don't say you pray for it. Hey, are you with me? Let me repeat this because this needs to sink in. If you don't pray for it, don't say I pray for it. A young man came to me once and said, Pastor, I just want that thing, you know. I want it so badly. All right, have you prayed for it? I said, yeah, I kind of prayed. You kind of prayed? Well, if you kind of prayed, you kind of get it, you know? Because to me, to kind of pray is the same as to kind of not pray. You understand? If you want a hat, a nice hat. Okay, let me see. Is there anybody? I like hats. Is there anybody here with a nice hat? You know, see? If you want a nice hat, pray for it. Okay? You may get it, but pray for it. If you don't pray for it, don't say you are praying for it. Okay, that was my first point. I leave it there. Second point. James says, you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. That is, you ask with wrong motives. Now, some people try to imagine prayer working like Amazon. How many of you have ever purchased anything from Amazon? Okay, all right, yeah, it's everywhere now, right? So, some people believe prayer is, you know, you have a desire, you want it badly. I mean, I so want it. Okay, you go online, you place an order. Of course, you have discount, because that's how they fool you. You've got some discount. You may also pay for Amazon Prime, you know, quick delivery. I mean, real shipping, you know? And then you sit back in your backyard on your flip chair, you know, and you wait for the heavenly drone to drop it right there for you. And, you know, some of this is accurate because God is somewhat like Amazon. People say Amazon now has everything. Okay? Now, God has everything. Okay? And he also can deliver. I mean, really fast. On the spot. If he wants so. But God doesn't work, doesn't operate like Amazon. Because if God operated like Amazon, you will be able to go and place whatever order you want. And you could get whatever things you want, even those things that would kill you. And the Bible says you ask and do not receive exactly because you ask amiss for the wrong motives. So that you can spend it on your pleasures. And the word there is hedone in Greek. We have the word hedonistic from there, which means lust. It means pleasure, indulgence, sinful pleasure, self-gratification. That's what it means. A hedonistic lifestyle. God cannot honor a hedonistic demand. Just imagine, young people. What would happen if God would give everybody that wants to show off a motorcycle? A Harley Davidson. My youngest brother, He was a student. He told me the story. He said, I was driving home from school, and at one moment, on the road, I saw something was happening. There was a big truck pulled over, and a few steps down, there was a motorcycle totally wrecked. And the police, and what else? The ambulance. So he said, I passed the truck, and I was looking around, I was looking for the victim. There's no victim. I stopped. Let me see what's going on. And when he looked carefully, he saw it. There was a young man coiled up on the rear wheel of the truck. Yeah. Can you imagine what would happen if God honored all those petitions, all those requests? Young people, sometimes you go to your father, your mother, and say, Mom, Daddy, I really want it. I want it badly, and I want it right now. Son, I don't want to kill you. You need to wait for this. It's not the right time, because you want that thing for the wrong motives. Let me read something very special from Ellen G. White. Steps to Christ. How many of you don't have this book? Okay, well, if you don't have it, Elder Alex, do you have Steps to Christ? Okay, give them, okay? Steps to Christ. I mean, show them. Okay? Steps to Christ. This is what she says. We are so erring and short-sighted that we sometimes ask for things. What things? See? We sometimes ask for things that would not be a blessing to us. And our Heavenly Father, say it with me. What? In what? In love, answers our prayers by giving us that which will be for our highest good. You know what this means? Sometimes you place an order, and when the package arrives, there's something else in the package. Because your Heavenly Father went beyond your petition. And then it says, in love answers our prayers by giving us that which will be for our highest good, that which we ourselves would desire if, with vision divinely enlightened, we could see all things as they really are. Wow. Next. When our prayers seem not to be answered, do you have those times? Hey, am I talking to the choir here? Do you have those times when you feel like your prayers are not being answered? When our prayers seem not to be answered, we are to cling to the promise. For the time of answering will surely come. Will what? It will surely come. And we shall receive the blessing we need most. But watch this. But to claim that prayer will always be answered in the very way and for the particular things that we desire is presumption. God is too wise to what? Too wise to err, and He is too what? Too good to withhold any good things from them that walk upright. I can't say anything else about this. It's all there. So we had, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't want to be there, okay? You ask with the wrong motives. That's why you don't get. So let me look now to what it means to ask with the right motives. You know, we live in a world where you hear it preached almost everywhere that prayer is some sort of a self-talk towards self-achievement. Friend, there is miracle in your mouth. I'm just quoting a famous prosperity gospel preacher. His first name is from the Bible. But the message? There's a miracle in your mouth. Well, words bring out the power. Words give life to your dreams. Oh, really? I mean, I can't stop right now and tell myself, you are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful, you're... And I'm beautiful, okay? Okay, good. You can't stop here and say, you are rich, you are rich, you are rich, you are rich. And you don't have a penny. What is this? Say after me. I believe. I believe. I see. I see. I receive. I receive. And don't forget to send a $20 donation also. That's where we are at. And you may be familiar with those prayer seminars. The ABC of prayer, the magic formula. Ask, believe, claim. And what if you don't get it? Huh? You're frustrated, right? Let me tell you something. Yes, there is a miracle in your mouth. But not when you use your own words. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and what? Say it aloud. And my words, Jesus said, my words abide in you. Then what? You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But listen, at this point, it is not your words that do the miracle. It's not self-talk to self-achievement. No, it is his words in your mouth that make the difference. And John further explains this in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, he says, that if we ask anything, how? According to his will. Now, when you have his words in your mouth, you will ask something according to his will, and there is little chance for you to be asking for things you need so much that you don't need them at all. Because now you have his word. This is Bible study. This is prayer. This is being imbued by the word of God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I need to tell you something here. God does not respond to your prayers. No, he doesn't. Okay, let me insert one word. Okay? God does not merely respond to your prayers. Did you get it now? Because God goes beyond your prayers and God gives an answer to the real need, not to the imaginary need. When you pray, your prayer may be wrong, but God can take it right. The Spirit is there to work with you, to get your mind in tune with God. This is so important to understand. Otherwise, we have false expectations from prayer. Yes, prayer works, but prayer doesn't work like Amazon. Prayer works like God desired and designed it to work. And when I come to the Lord, if I really want to pray according to His will, I will not tell Him, Lord, give me what I need. I will tell Him, Lord, give me what You know I need and prepare me to be able to receive it. Because here's the thing, sometimes we pray those little tiny petty prayers. We have a small vision, a small dream, when God has a huge future for us. He's got big plans for us. So that's the best way for me to go to Him and say, Lord, I'm here. Give me what You know I need right now. And prepare me for the rest of it. Because it's gonna come. When His words are in your mouth, prayer really works. Now, I need to point something out here. Please hold your chair, okay? Among many other things that God knows, He also knows you only need 90%, how much? 90% of what He gives you. Should I repeat this? Among many other things, God knows you only need 90% of what He gives you, because 10% is His. Don't touch it. That's not yours. Yeah, but somebody says, okay, I don't like this. I mean, I want 100% of God's blessings for me. Listen, if you think you really need that 10%, I have news for you. Do you know how much you need it? The 10%. The one that goes after the 90%. Okay? The one that is God's. Do you know how much you need it? You need it so much that you don't need it at all. Because when you give a faithful tithe back to God, which is His actually, you don't have less. You have more. Because there is blessing coming. There's blessing piled up. He's waiting for you to open up so that He can open up the windows, the gutters of heaven. I'm not hearing too many amens. I know why. There's a pastor colleague that came to me and said, man, listen, this is what happened to me. As this young man, a very rich young businessman, I mean, that's rare, you know, young businessman and rich already. And he said, you know, pastor, when I was poor, it was so easy for me to give a faithful tithe. Because it was little, I mean, didn't do much. But now I'm rich, you know, my tithe is big money, man. Wouldn't you join with me? Let's do some ministry together. I'm going to start some sort of ministry so that I can use at least part of my tithe money toward that ministry. Well, that's happening, okay? Unfortunately. So the pastor said, hey, my friend, you know what the Bible says, right? Bible says, God says, actually, bring how much of the tithe? All the tithe in the storehouse, that there will be food. So that part is not yours. So the decision is up to you. Do you want to receive the blessing from God and give God back the way He blesses you? Or you would rather have God give you the way you give him back? Did you get it? Should I repeat it? Do you prefer God giving you the way you give him back? Or you would rather give him back the way he blessed you? Because if you are a businessman and rich already, you know what I'm saying, right? But if you are poor, listen, God's financial system is the fairest. There's no better system that, like this, because if you have 10, it's 1 out of 10. If you have 100, it's 10 out of 100. If you have 1,000, it's 100 out of 1,000. And you know, we gather tithes and offerings. We don't use the tithe money here in the local church. Some of it comes back in different ways, but we send it to the storehouse, to the conference, union, division, general conference, because there's need of food everywhere, not only here in Plantation or in South Florida, everywhere. But the local ministry, the church, the local church, the ministers of the church are supported and financed from your offerings. So don't rob God. How can we rob God? Well, this is how. Malachi 3:8. In the offerings and in the tithe. I don't know what you are going through now, right now. But I'm assuming some of you are struggling financially. And it may be that some of you are going through a trial, okay? So that's one category. And God will come through somehow for you. I can promise, based on the Bible. Some of you may have made mistakes, okay? And we kind of pay for our mistakes. But may it be, in some cases, that you are in the financial mess in which you are because you haven't been faithful to the Lord in tithes and offerings. And if that's the case, please change the paradigm of life. What I've seen in my life and in the life of those who believe the Bible as it is God takes care. And he gives you the blessings so that you can become blessing for other people. I was only 2 months into my pastoral ministry. I was pastoring 5 churches, running a weekly TV show, teaching religion in a public school, and many, many other responsibilities, and I didn't have a car. So I would borrow a car or ride the bus or hitchhike. When have you hitchhiked for the last time? I wouldn't recommend that to you. But that was my life. And at that time, 2 ladies from the United States came over to Romania to do evangelism in 2 of my churches. And when they saw what I was dealing with, they said, "Man, this is incredible. We need to do something. But what should we do? We'll try to help somehow." They came back to America. I stayed there. This was in October. And now I'm in December. Winter. But real winter, not Florida winter, okay? So real winter. And I'm running to and fro, and at one point I tell myself, "Hey, I think you should do..." I'm still praying for the car, but I felt like I should do something about it. I couldn't go to the market, to the car market, kind of an auction or something, because that was on Sunday, and I had the TV show at Sunday noon. So I was there doing the TV show. But I had a friend that was kind of a dealer, car dealer or a middleman. Somebody that buys a wrecked car, builds it up and sells it. You know, that kind of people. So I told him, "Listen, you go to the market, right? Yeah. Now, I would like to ask you to do me a favor. Look for a car, an old, you know, good old, small, cheap car for me. I need a car. Okay, how much money you have? And I told him how much money I had. He said, oh, well, I don't know. But he went to the market. I went to the TV show. And after the show, I called him and said, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Any news for me? I said, man, you know there is no car for your money here. I know, man. But he said, listen, I've seen a car. This is a beautiful car. It's a beautiful car, and it is worth seeing it. So I would say, this guy is going to drive through your city when he goes home. Why won't you meet him and give a look to that car? It won't hurt. It's not expensive, you know, to see a car. I said, okay, but it was weird. I mean, why would I see a car if I don't have money to buy it? Okay. So I'm meeting the guy. And we go for a spin. That was the car. How do you have it? I mean, and the car was really good. Great car. So after we went out to try it, we swapped seats. He was going on, you know, praising his car. He was the seller in the end. And I was preparing my speech to say something, you know, sir, the car is wonderful. There's only one problem. I don't have the money. But I can't say a word because my phone rings. I look at the number, unknown. Press the green button. Somebody from America. A lady from America. She's there. Would you please stand up? Okay, she's Lydia. One of my spiritual mothers here in America. She was there. She called me right then. And she said, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing fine, thanks. Have you looked for a car? And I said, kinda. I'm sitting in one, you know? Okay, is that a good car? Yeah, it's a good car. Good car, good money. She said, how much money? Well, 8,000 euros. That's more than $8,000. And she said, okay, get the car. We've got the money. I was paralyzed. I was in shock, in awe. Later, I found out more about the story. The other lady was a member of Mandarin Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Have you ever been there, Mandarin Church? Nice, beautiful church. She went back, she did a mission report. And among other things, she talked about the pastor that is running to and fro without a car. And after that, an old guy walked up to her. You wouldn't say that guy has money. And he said, listen, I've heard you talk about that pastor that doesn't have a car. I want to help that pastor. But you know, I don't have money. All right. But he said, I have a collection of old coins. And I'm thinking of selling that collection of coins, getting some money for it, and I want to give the money to the pastor to buy a car. And in a few weeks, he came with the money. Now watch this. This is the miraculous part of the miraculous story. That guy, his name is Jimmy, was not a member of Mandarin Church. He somehow was there when the report was presented to the church. And after he paid for my car, he kinda vanished. Because later on, I went to that church and I wanted to meet Jimmy. And all they could say is, we don't have Jimmy around. Where is he? I have no idea. We actually don't know who Jimmy is. The worship team is good to get back to the platform now. You know, to me, this was amazing. Nobody knew Jimmy. But God knew Jimmy. Nobody there knew me, really. But God knew me. And he knew my need as it really was. I don't know if you know Elvis Presley's song, "My Jesus knows just what I need." My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each shame. He knows when I Yes, he knows just what I need. Father, thank you for knowing what we need. And thank you for Jesus Christ, through whom we can come to you, asking you to give us what we need. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing a service way better than Amazon Prime. Thank you. We're not coming to you now to ask you to provide for our needs. We pray that you will give us what you know we need. And you will prepare us to receive all those things. Because we know that's the only way our soul will be satisfied. This is our desire in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit.